Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today. Red October is back, baby. Red October is officially here for the 2023 season. And I couldn't be any more excited. Nervous, but very excited that Red October is back. And the Phillies finish the year at 90-72. They end up with the first wild card spot, where they're going to play the Miami Marlins in the first round of the wild card series. Potentially, if it does go to a third game, which hopefully it won't have to, all three games will be in Philadelphia. So regardless, every game, whether it's two games, whether it's three, each game will be in Philadelphia, and every game will be at 8 o'clock. It looks like an 8:08 start. Game three, I'm not 100% sure about, but it looks like at least the first two games will be 8:08 starts. So that's what you can expect for the Phils and the Marlins in the wild card series. Very excited. There's not too much to recap from the Mets series. You know that they were going to, they placed Dylan Covey on the injured list, quote unquote. You brought in Michael Plassmeyer, you brought in Nick Nelson, you called up Weston Wilson. Like, you made these moves that you didn't really need to, but you did because you wanted to get the playoff tune-ups and you wanted to rest some players. Especially with the doubleheader on Saturday, which I went to the doubleheader on Saturday and went to Citi Field for the first time. Beautiful ballpark. Want to say that about the Mets. Beautiful ballpark at Citi. Not beautiful outcomes as the Phils lost both games on Saturday, but great experience, Citi Field. Shout out to Matt Muzico, great baseball journalist. You can find him on Twitter. He's a great baseball fan and great baseball journalist, and also has his MLB Daily Dingers page, so make sure you check that out. But he showed me around the ballpark, went to both games with him, so that was pretty cool. But just some things to know from the Mets series. Like, not much to know besides, like, Taiwan Walker in game one on Saturday. Early on wasn't very good, finished out his outing pretty solid. But Taiwan Walker, man, like, I guess I tweeted, like, I didn't want him to be on the playoff roster. I'm okay with him in a bullpen role, a limited bullpen role. But this year, he had those couple of good months. But since that, he's been not so great. The whole velocity dipping and everything like that. I don't know. There's something weird with how I feel about Taiwan Walker on the postseason roster. But, I mean, if he gets left off, I'm fine with that. If he gets left on in a bullpen role, which would be, I'm okay with that too, just as long as it's like a limited amount of appearances. So that's how I feel about Taiwan Walker, game one on Saturday. Another one, Schwarber hits his 47th homer of the season. which was a career high now, breaking his career high from last year, which was 46. So exciting to see Schwarbs have his historical season. He finishes what? Under 200? Finishes under, just so we can get you the exact numbers here for Kyle Schwarber. 197, 343 on base. Look at that disparity. Love that. 817 OPS, 47 homers, 122 OPS plus. How many walks did he have? Where the heck is it? 126. What a monster. What a monster of a season. Kyle Schwarber. Love that. All right, so Schwarber's 47 homers on the season, 104 RBIs. One thing to take away, because you did see a good amount of the relievers in the series. No earned runs, technically. We had, Luis Ortiz in game one? That doesn't count. He's not going to be on the postseason roster. You got in game two, 4 1/3 innings, no earned runs. Game three, 3 2/3 innings, no earned runs. Love to see that. So, and you saw the regulars, Strom, Sir Anthony, a few others. I think Kirkering got hit around a little bit, and he wasn't as good as his first two outings in his major league career. But no earned runs for the bullpen. So, that's almost, 8 innings of work, technically? Yeah, 8 innings. So, or 8 or 9 innings, whatever, somewhere around there. So, the bullpen was good. I think that's the one good takeaway, having that momentum going into the postseason. The relief pitching needs to be good, especially with, you don't know where you're going to get from, like, a Nola, or just in general, it's good to have your relief pitching doing very well. So, those are really my things to take away from the Mets series. I'm not going to recap yesterday's game. They won 9-1 to finish off the year at 90-72. First time they get to 90 wins since 2011, when they had a franchise record 102 wins. So very exciting in that way. This team gets 90 wins. I predicted 88, so two above. Happy with that, obviously. So 90 wins for this Phillies team this year. So, let's get right into it, man. Most of this episode is going to be previewing the Marlins series for the wild card round. And then I will also get into some of the other playoff series, briefly. And I'll give you some of the broadcast times for some of the other games as well. But previewing the Marlins series. So, let's start with the projected starters lineups for each game. I'll give you general lineups, or also for the Phillies lineup, I'll give you who I think they should put in, or what I think should be the general lineup for all three games. So game one, it looks like, and this isn't confirmed, but this is what it looks like, right? So game one looks like Zach Wheeler on the mound for the Phillies, their ace. No Sandy Alcantara this series, which is, never like to see someone get hurt, but good for the Phillies, let's be real. But they do have to face Jesus Luzardo, who's had a good year. He's been one of the more underrated pitchers in baseball the last couple of years, Jesus Luzardo. So that would be game one. Game two would be Aaron Nola and Braxton Garrett. Braxton Garrett has been pretty good this year. Aaron Nola has been mediocre this year, and that's kind of putting that nicely with Nola. But Nola coming off of a couple of good outings and in the clincher against Pittsburgh, not too long ago. So Nola and Braxton Garrett will be game two. That's what it looks like. And then game three, speculation it would be Ranger Suarez and then Edward Cabrera on the other side for Miami. And that's interesting because both have an ERA very similar to each other. Overall this year, Ranger at 4.18 ERA. Edward Cabrera at a 4.24 ERA. So those would be the projected starters. Lineups, this is what I would like to see from the Phillies, how I'd feel comfortable with it. And they are facing two lefties going into games one and two for sure. I'd like it to be Schwarber as your leadoff. Turner, shortstop. Harper, first base. Alec Boehm in the cleanup spot. He's been your best hitter this year, runners in scoring position, and 20 home runs. Not super, super big power, but he's improved this year power-wise. I'd like to see him at the cleanup spot. Nick Castellanos, I'd like him at the five spot. He's kind of been jumbled around. He's kind of hit out the seven spot a decent amount lately. Castellanos, and then Bryson Stott at the six spot. And then I go Real Muto at catcher in the 7-hole. JT's had like a weird year. He hasn't had a bad year, but to his standards, not great. And then Marsh in left in the 8-hole. And then I'd go Johan Rojas to be your starting center fielder in the 9-hole. That's what I'd like to see for the Phils lineup going into the matchup here against the Fish. And just some of the general numbers as we're going into this series with Miami. Phils are 6-7 against the Marlins this year. Not great. And they're 2-4 at home versus the Marlins. That's important because, you know, all potentially, if they were to go to three games, all three games would be at home against the Marlins. And they're 2-4 at home this year against Miami. So not great numbers, but hopefully that could just be, okay, well, that was this season. Let's go into the postseason. Let's get hot, and it won't matter. Just a few of the general numbers for the Marlins and the Phils here. Phils are 8th in runs scored this season, and this is overall Major League Baseball. Starting pitching, 15th in earned run average. Relief pitching, 7th in ERA. Man, the bullpen's been good overall this year. I know we've had some concerns with, like, Kimbrel at the closer spot and whatnot, but the relief pitching, top 10 in ERA this year. I remember this 2020 bullpen. One of the worst bullpens ever. Marlins, offense is 26th in runs scored. Starting pitching is 9th in ERA, and relief pitching 20th in earned run average overall in 2023. So those are overall 2023 numbers for both teams. So interesting stuff. Some of the numbers going into Citizens Bank Park, where game one will be at 8:08, I believe. On Tuesday night. So some of the key matchups that I'm looking at heading into this series with the Marlins, and I will give you guys three matchups that I am very interested in heading into this series. Let's get it out of the way. We all know Aaron Nola is a huge X factor for this Phillies team, not just this series. I mean, obviously, we're just looking at the series for now, but the entire postseason. When it comes to Nola against the Marlins, 6.75 ERA in three starts this year. So it's, what, about 2.5 points above his regular earned run average this year, which is at 4.46, 6.75 ERA against the Marlins this year. So the Marlins have hit him pretty well in three starts this year. So I don't feel incredible about that. It's not something I think that any Phillies fan is feeling great about heading into this series. So Nola against the Marlins, that's obviously the big one that we want to get out of the way right now. Hopefully Nola can change that and, you know, just make that look, you know, okay, those were his numbers in the regular season, but he needs to have a quality start. Second one, I already mentioned him, Jesus Luzardo, who will be starting for the Marlins in game one. He has a 3.26 ERA in five starts against the Phillies in his entire career. So he has good overall numbers against the Phillies, you know, for his career. And hopefully the Phillies can change those numbers. I mean, you know, you don't want to rely on Zach Wheeler having, like, just a Roy Halladay-like start, which he very well could have. But if you're the Phillies offense, you need to get to Jesus Luzardo. So Luzardo, 3.26 ERA and five starts against the Phillies in his career. Third key matchup, Jorge Soler versus the Phillies pitching. 2.75 average and four homers against the Phils this year. But I'm more so looking at, like, his postseason career, especially, like, recently a couple years ago when he got traded to Atlanta and had, you know, the home run in game five or game six, whichever game it was, for them to win the World Series, had that big home run, which went to Pujols territory out there in Houston. So Soler, and he was the World Series MVP that year. So, I mean, Soler has some overall pretty good postseason numbers in his career. Back when he was with the Cubs and when he was with Atlanta a couple of years ago, has some good postseason numbers overall. And he, you know, obviously wins World Series MVP. So he's got ice in his veins. So a wild card round isn't going to necessarily phase him, right? So Soler, and I think he's just coming off an injury, I believe. I'm not sure. But and he's had a rebound year as far as power goes. I think he has upwards of 40 home runs for Miami. So Jorge Soler against Phillies pitching. I mean, he's somebody that the Phillies really have to worry about, along with Luis Arraez, who is actually dealing with an ankle injury, but I think he's going to be okay for the series start. But that's something to monitor for sure. So those are my key matchups. Nola versus the Marlins, Lizardo versus the, Nola versus the Marlins in game two, Lizardo versus the Phils in game one, and then Soler versus Phillies pitching. That's my last key matchup there. And now, what the Phillies need to do to win this series. So I'm going to give you guys three keys to what the Phillies need to do to win this series. And I mean, They're all obvious, but to me, like, those are the three big ones that come to mind. First one, offense needs to get to Miami starters early. I mean, Miami does have a few, like, really good arms, and like Tanner Scott, who else? What's his name? Tanner Scott, AJ Puck. You have Andrew Nardi, who has a 2.67 ERA on the season. Like, they have some really nasty guys back there in the pen. But like I mentioned earlier, 20th overall in relief pitching this year, and their starting staff has been much better. But I think if you're the Phils offense, you have the firepower, get to Garrett, get to Lizardo early, get to Miami bullpen. I think that's really important. Second thing, I already said this, but let's reiterate it. Aaron Nola needs to have at least a quality start in game two. I'm not asking for, again, a Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee postseason type of start. I'm just asking for a good quality start. Two runs, three runs max. We don't need Aaron Nola imploding like he has at times this year, at times that he has in 2021. We don't need that type of Aaron Nola. We need the Aaron Nola that is going to at least just have a quality start in game two. Just give us a quality start. Give Phils fans something to, you know, just something to feel comfortable about. Just three max, two runs. Two runs would be nice. Obviously, anything less than that would be great. If you give us 7 to 8 shutout innings, that's phenomenal. Third thing that the Phillies need to do to win this series against Miami, knocking Rodgers in scoring position. Like, it's obvious, but it's. It's something the Phillies have struggled with this year. At times, I think they cleaned it up, more in the second half. But getting the runners in while they're on second and third base, you need to get those guys in, especially in the playoffs. It's what matters. When guys are, in scoring position, you need to drive those runners home, whether it's somebody like Real Muto, who has struggled this year in that department. Even Harper has struggled at times in that department. Like, guys need to come through. Boehm, who's been great this year. Stott, who's been great this year. Castellanos has been pretty good. Those guys need to drive runners in with scoring position, especially the guys who I think will be in the cleanup spots, like Boehm, Harper, Castellanos, Stott in the middle of that lineup. I think it's really important for them. Very important. So those are my keys to winning this series for the Philadelphia Phillies. Again, offense needs to get to Miami starters early. Aaron Nola need to have a quality start in game two. And then third, knock in the runners when they are in scoring position. That's how you win games in the Major League Baseball playoffs. That's how you win the games, okay? That's big, big, big deal. And then key notes for the series. The only ones I can really think of, which are big for Miami's part, the Phillies are generally healthy, besides potentially Rhys Hoskins coming back for if they get to the World Series. Luis Arraez, from what I've read, it seems like he's going to be okay. I think Skip Schumacher has been optimistic in the way he's been seeing Luis Arraez the last couple of days. And then Sandy Alcantara, he's done for the season. So, again, that's big for the Phils. Big for the Phils, even though they've hit him decent in the past. So Alcantara and Arraez. Alcantara is done for the year. Luis Arraez, not sure. We'll see in the next, like, 24 hours what's going to happen. But I think Miami is optimistic about him in that lineup, because it does change things if he's not. It does change things if Luis Arraez is not in this lineup for Miami come postseason time, or come, you know, next day or two. So those are my key notes. Really short and simple. So Phils, we'll see, man. I don't know. I feel good. I think they're gonna get it done in two games. That's just my gut feeling. Again, I gave you guys my keys to the series, keys to some of these games. Gut feeling, I think Nola's going to have at least a quality start, and I think the offense is going to come through when they need to. And I think Zach Wheeler is going to have a very good start, too, and I think that's all you're going to need for them to win. Obviously, you need the bullpen to be good, too, and we'll see who Thompson goes to in the end in the bullpen to close out some of these games, but we'll see. But I think the Phillies do get this done in two games. Other playoff series to look forward to. On the American League side, I'm excited for the Rays and Rangers. I'm really excited for that matchup. The Rays overall this year have been great. You know, the Orioles just been unbelievable. They won 100-plus games this year to take over the AL East. Texas with the fiery offense, a lot of fire there, and good pitching this year. I think that's going to make for a really fun series, albeit a three-game series, but still it could be a fun series. That's my most exciting matchup in the wild card series. You also have Minnesota and Toronto, the other matchup in the American League. And then as it pertains to the National League, close to the Phillies, it's going to be Milwaukee and the Arizona Diamondbacks, the 3-6 matchup. The Brewers are the third seed. The D-backs, sixth seed. That's the other side. I don't think either team would. I think Milwaukee would have a better chance because of rotation against the Dodgers. I don't think either team would beat the Dodgers in that second in the NLDS. But we'll see. Braves are waiting for us, man. Braves are waiting for us on our side of the bracket. So Dodgers and Braves both awaiting the winners of the NL Wild Card Series. And on the American League side, the Astros somehow won the AL West. They're the 2 seed. And the Orioles, the 1 seed, both awaiting winners of the American League Wild Card Series with the Rangers and Rays, Minnesota Twins, and the Toronto Blue Jays. Just real quick before we get out of here. I had it. Where'd it go? There it is. So this is Alex Coffey was nice enough to tweet this out. Some of the broadcast schedule for the Wild Card Series. Game 1 between Texas and Tampa Bay, 3:08 Eastern Time, will be on ABC on Tuesday, October 3rd. Game 1 between Toronto and Minnesota, 4:30 I guess Eastern Time on ESPN. Game 1 between Arizona and Milwaukee, 7:08 p.m. on ESPN2. And then your Phils, Miami and the Phils at the bank at 8:08 p.m. on ESPN. But I'm running out of time here, so I can't really give you guys the rest of the broadcast schedule, but you can find it by Alex Coffey on Twitter. She tweeted out the schedule yesterday. So, appreciate her tweeting that out for everybody. And so that's going to do it for me. I think the Phillies are winning this one too. Let me know on Twitter at @Rojas_media_. Let me know on there. Let me know your thoughts. What are you concerned about the Phillies? Are you not concerned? Does the Marlins being 7-6 against the Phils this year and 4-2 at the bank concern you? So that's going to do it for me. Red October, baby. I'm ready. Francisco Rojas. I'll talk to you guys on Thursday.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.